In brightest day,
in blackest night.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're all about the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I'm Walter DeRaglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
Yeah, and as always, we are your sunshine supermen.
Blossoming their way into spring in the world of comics.
Yeah, well said, Chris.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Good for you. Welcome to spring.
It is spring today, yes.
Spring
has sprung. Yes.
Okay, I thought I just made that up.
The grass is riz.
The grass, yeah. You know what? It's where we broadcast in the beautiful city of Hamilton.
Yes,
it's still cold.
Yesterday was especially cold.
Oh,
the wind was freezing out there. So for those of you who are listening to us in like places like Texas and Florida, it is really cold up here.
I mean, yeah, I froze my robins off yesterday.
Hey-o. All right. So
Chris,
listen, Walt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Chris. I'm always happy. Listen, Chris, whenever you and I meet to talk comic books, I'm always excited. I'm
happy.
I'm especially excited today. It's you know, a bit bittersweet and a bit exciting today.
Oh, why is that?
We want to introduce our new producer.
Right.
What's our show called again?
Comic Culture.
Comic Culture, right. And we have a new producer to Comic Culture, Anthony Falcone, our old producer.
Yes.
Wrote us a Dear John letter saying, "You guys suck. I don't want to work with you ever again.
Take this job and shove it.
Yeah.
I ain't working anymore."
And luckily, Marty hasn't listened to much of the shows.
No. Right. Well, he's a bit of a newbie, eh?
Yeah. And so Marty Berthelmer is our new, what do you call it?
Producer. Martin, welcome to the show.
That might be the worst way to intro me, because I could hear everything you were saying, all those things that I didn't know before and that I now know.
Oh,
too late, Marty.
We forgot to give him earplugs.
Too late. Listen. We're happy to have you on board.
I'm happy to be here. I know you guys enough to know that I can get through a... You know, one day a week with you. That's about where I cap it off, though.
No, I'm not surprised. I think that's about all I can handle with either of you two as well.
Listen, we have, Chris. We actually, remember you and I...
We interviewed Marty.
Yeah, we interviewed Marty for the job.
Yeah.
And Andrew, did you have that? You have it on tape?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay, so we interviewed Marty for the job. Last week he came in, sat down. We you know, he was all, he dressed up.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
It was very nice.
Yeah, it was very
and,
nice.
And so, anyway, before we'll just talk about...
Well, let's, yeah, do you want to play the clip?
Okay, play the clip.
Hold on here.
So, Marty, it's great for you to come. Listen, this gig here, like, we can't pay, so are you okay with working for free, first of all?
I guess so.
Great! Well, you know what? That's awesome. That's great.
Take them. All right, you got the job.
You're in.
Do I still have to bring the drinks?
Absolutely.
All right.
All right. Oh, and then that was the end of the clip. That was good.
Excellent. Yeah. So, wow, we got that on tape. That was excellent. Marty, thank you very much again.
Yeah, good.
And you, very professional in the interview, by the way. You did wonderful.
I felt it was my best performance yet.
Only the beginning, Marty.
In all honesty, Marty, we are very, very pleased that you're with us, and we're looking forward to many years of you working for free for us.
See, now, you probably wouldn't be saying that if you actually heard the show where I replaced you as a guest host for a week.
I was vying for your position.
Right. You know, I've heard I've heard some people say that was the best show ever. However, all your emails are the same from the same email address. So, you know.
You figured that out.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Listen, Marty, just keep an eye on, especially Chris. Mm-hmm. Okay? I mean, I warned you in that secret email, remember?
What? What do you mean? What? No, never mind. What are you talking about?
And what Chris does right now is, as you're aware, Chris is now going to go through this show's all. What's this show all about?
It's about comic books.
Yeah, but what's it really all about?
Championing the local comic book shop.
Right. And we're championing the local comic book shop. And how do we do that every week?
Well, one of the ways we do it, one of the myriad of ways, is we talk about local comics, or sorry, comics that are coming out to your local comic book shop.
Today.
Yeah. Today is Wednesday. And for those of you in the know, Wednesday is the new comic book day. So I thought we'd start with Superior Spider-Man. This is number 6 by Dan Slott and Humberto Ramos. And it's looking like a pretty cool comic here. It's the title of the comic is Joking Hazard. Get it? Instead of like Choking Hazard.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So it's a good looking book. It's got some interesting characters in it. It's got a like a Harlequin type Joker type character in it, but it's not really like a Joker. It's not really a Harlequin.
Right. So it's a Harlequin Joker. Let me get this straight.
Yeah.
So it's a Harlequin Joker type character.
Yes.
But it's not really Harlequin or Joker.
That's right. It's more like, it kind of looks like a jester, like a court jester.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In fact, his name is the Jester.
Oh, there you go. So, there's been a character called the Jester before. I'm positive.
It might be the same guy.
Right.
Might be the same guy.
All right.
And he gets like, you know, paint thrown at him and all kinds of fun stuff. Anyways, you know what? The thing I do like about this comic is that it kind of harkens back to the days when Spider-Man was just a fun comic rather than getting all serious and talking about, you know, drugs or Aunt May or drugs and Aunt May.
And rock and roll.
Yeah.
Chris, Dan Slott does wonders with Spider-Man.
He really does.
I really, really enjoyed reading Dan Slott's Spider-Man.
That was so well said.
Right.
Anyways, new comic book day does have your local Superior Spider-Man out today.
So what Chris just tried to say there is...
on
the new this week stand at your local comic book shop, you will find, amongst other things, Superior Spider-Man number 6.
Why you got to be like that?
Is it too late for my resignation?
Yes.
Can I get that contract?
No. It would take many years.
It gets better. Marty, it gets better.
Yeah, don't you worry. All right. So now, Walt, you suggested to me that we talk about this because on the same day, we've got both Justice League of America and Justice League. So two of DC's big guns coming out the same day. Why wouldn't they possibly wait to kind of split things up a little bit, you know? I don't get it.
Yeah. So you have yesterday we were doing the I guess what local comic book shops call the pull.
The pull.
Yeah. Easy.
I wasn't going to say anything.
All right. We were doing the pull yesterday. And after we finished the pull, we went and we pulled the comics, right? And you know,
so
say,
when you finished,
why are two of DC's biggest books coming the same day?
Yeah.
That's what we made that observation, and then I thought I'd mention it to you today.
Yes,
I go, well, you know, why? I mean, I know some, you know, like they obviously can control their street dates.
Sure, they can.
Right.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
It just puzzled me that DC would put out their two of their big guns,
two of their bigger
on
books
the same day.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Who knows? Maybe they figure they get the Justice League crowd, or maybe one guy, one person that, you know, collects only Justice League. Maybe they'll buy Justice League of America. Who knows, right? But it looks like they're clearly two completely different books, right? You know, different writers. Sorry, actually not different writers, but different characters, I should say. They're both done by Geoff Johns, but you know, they're different books. So maybe they're hoping that if you only collect one, maybe you'll hop on to the other one.
Fair enough. I guess so. I guess you might be right. Anyway, Justice League of America number 2 and Justice League number 18 are out today at your local comic book shop.
Yes. Now, Walt.
Yo.
I'm going to give you a quick, I'm going to give you a quick quiz here.
All right. I'm
so,
ready.
So, Bongo Comics.
Bongo.
You know, with Simpsons.
Oh, the Simpsons. Okay.
Right. Simpsons published by Bongo Comics.
Yeah.
How long do you think it's been around for?
Bongo Comics has been.
Think about, you know, as an independent comic company.
Yeah.
How long has Bongo been around for?
10 years.
Bongo has been around for 20 years.
20 years.
20 years. The Simpsons comics has reached number 200. They have been around for 20 years, which, you know what? As as a comic book publisher is astounding if you're not Marvel or DC.
Uh-huh.
Really? Like, uh-huh. I mean, okay, Image has been around for a while.
Yeah, but Image, how many Image titles have reached number 200?
Well, you're right. Yeah. So
Spawn.
That's and
it, right?
I don't even know if Savage Dragon is still being published.
Yeah.
Maybe
or
Savage
or
Dragon.
Hellblazer. No, that's a DC.
No,
one.
That's about it, really.
Yeah,
Spawn.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Dark Horse, they have some characters that have been around for a while.
Yeah.
But on, as an ongoing comic,
nothing's
around
not
for 200.
Much. You're right.
Bongo Comics has managed to pull off something that. Very few comic companies can do, and that's to have an ongoing comic for 200 issues.
Right. And you know what? What's fascinating for me is their cover is just so corny.
And then,
it's basically a birthday cake with 200 candles on it. And,
but Homer's hair is on fire.
And yeah, I know, and Homer's hair is on fire.
But that's the joke, right? Because that's what Simpsons is all about. Simpsons is always corny. It's always funny. But did you notice that it's also like a big gatefold kind of cover here?
Wrap
it's got other characters around the back.
Yeah.
And of course, it has Zoidberg from Futurama up at the top, who's saying, "We'll defect for cake."
Nice. So, all right.
And also keep in mind, Walt, this is a comic book geared towards the younger audience, so someone as learned and wizened as yourself not be able to relate to this comic.
I understand what you're saying. Totally. Saying, I don't get it. That's what you're saying. I don't get it.
Yeah, right? You have no idea. Culture
shock. Clueless, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, listen,
awesome.
That's exciting.
Great book. Great book.
That Bongo number 200 has come out.
Let's specify which book that is. Sorry there, Walter.
I'm sorry. Simpsons number 200 has come out from Bongo Comics. And you can find that at your local comic book shop today.
Today. All right, listen. Let's take a quick musical interlude here, and we're going to cut to... Oh, no, sorry, you're right. I forgot about one here. Mm. How could I forget? Jeez, I almost forgot about this.
You're the one that picked that
40-pound
one.
Graphic novel here that's sitting in front of me. This is interesting. So many times we see all kinds of different omnibi...
Omnibuy.
I think that's the...
Omnibuy that builds the boat. Omnibuy that sails...
That's the plural for omnibus, right?
Omnibuy. Yeah, omnibus, right.
So we have the death and the return of Superman Omnibus. So this is one gigantic graphic novel.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that J. Mungo softcover Death of Superman graphic novel and that equally J. Mungo softcover Return of Superman graphic novel are now merged into one?
They're now merged into one. This is over 1,000 pages.
No, that's too much.
This is over 1,000 pages in one hardcover volume.
That's a nerdgasm right there.
It really is. It's a now... I'm going to say it's only $100. It sounds like a lot, but it's 1,000 pages.
It's 1,000 pages for $100.
For $100.
Get up off the wall. It's 10 cents a page.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal. And you get both the death and the return of Superman. It looks like an awesome book. It's got the cover by Jerry Ordway there. And Jerry Ordway has been in the news a little bit lately. I don't know if you've been reading on the news groups or... He's basically stating that here's a guy that's a classic comic book artist,
mm-hmm.
and he can't get any work.
Never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner. Yep. There are guys that are way less talented than him.
Oh yeah,
living high on the land.
Yeah,
on
the land.
On the
high on the land.
And Jerry can't put his blood, sweat, and tears into this book.
Yep.
Never
got dinner, and he revived Captain Marvel Shazam for DC, made him a viable character again. Never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner.
Can't get any work.
Wow.
He says that he can continue working and making a living for his family by doing commissions, but he wants to continue doing actual stories and all that kind of stuff. But
does he get a cut out of this, do you think?
You know what? Apparently, so on his blog, he was saying how he does get what are they called? Residuals from all the graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
However, they're so measly that it's literally like I can order pizza for my family that night.
Wow. Well, listen, this being $100.
Yeah.
Let's all go out and buy two or three.
And we'll help Jerry out.
Help Jerry out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And listen, it's not
We can become like Jerry's kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not, I like that. Yeah. And it's not just a graphic novel that's 60 pounds. You could use it as a doorstop.
You really could.
You could use it, when you're working on your car? Mm-hmm. You drive up onto it. You can work underneath your
car. Right, that's right. That's right.
There's a lot of uses for this.
A lot of uses for this. Absolutely. And you can bludgeon someone to death with it.
Pretty well.
If you wanted to. You could easily knock them out.
Not that we condone
that at all. No, absolutely not. I'm just saying.
I immediately went to Fort. My mind raced to Fort.
Oh, buy a bunch of them and you make a fort.
Yeah, buy a bunch of them. You can make
it.
A fort.
Yeah. I like it.
That is, you know, like some of those, when you go to the Mastermind Toys and all those other toy places, you know, those high-end toy places.
Yeah,
you know, you're spending $800 on a dumb little fort. Just buy eight of these.
Maybe a really small fort, but yeah.
Well,
anyway. Or at least you'll be reading for a long time.
That
is small
true.
Fort.
That
Listen,
is true.
Superman, the death and the return of Superman Omnibus. If you can carry, I'm sure the staff at your local comic book shop will help you carry this to the car.
Because you might need some help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so pick that up at your local comic book shop.
All right. Sounds good.
Today.
Well, listen, now we're going to have a musical interlude here. And of course, we're going to have the Krantz Spider-Man as demanded by not only by Walt, but by our fans as well. Here we have The Big Fall.
And thank you for returning. And new producer Marty, going to read you your first sponsor here. We are bringing to you by Oversized 40-Pound Omnibuy. Even if you can't read, there is no better way to appear learned than to have one adorn your mantle.
Wow.
Bringing to you by.
Well, I forgot which section it was brought to you by.
Right. You know.
I feel like I fit in, though.
You know
like, I feel like I'm still above the standard of the show.
It's all good.
I'm bringing to you by.
I don't feel as under pressure as I normally would right now.
I feel like I'm dealing with some sort of, you know, Russian immigrant. I'm bringing to you by.
Yes, I'm bringing it.
Is it hot in here? I'm sweating bullets, guys. You got me on my toes.
Yeah. Listen, we're going to talk about now. We're going to talk about something you and I every now and then talk about.
Yeah, it used to be a sort of regular topic,
and
then it kind of fell by the wayside.
Then it got lame.
I think it's seasonal, right?
Oh, seasonal.
You know,
not lame.
Shush.
Okay.
We're gonna have trailer trash.
Trailer trash.
We need a theme for trailer
trash. I
just did one. That was terrible.
Okay.
All right. Terrible. The triple T.
Trailable. That was trailable. What's wrong with you?
Trailable.
Don't worry, guys. I'll work on it for you.
All right. Listen. So, trailer trash. We've got, usually with trailer trash, we like to talk about things that have happened in the news where they kind of, you know, release new movie ideas and new stills and things like that. So, there is a new issue of the UK-based Total Film magazine, which now contains a feature on James Mangold's The Wolverine, which is slated to open up July 29th of this year. So basically, Mangold is the director, and he talks about coverage of the story arc that provides the basis for the film. So, but apparently the big thing is that now we see a picture of Hugh Jackman, and he's got a sort of very concerned look about himself, but he's got bloody claws.
Yeah, Chris, hey, listen, the press release, you're getting this all wrong.
What are you talking about?
The press release says he has a wary look of determination.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And a pair of bloodied adamantium claws.
Adamantium claws. So he has either just had lunch.
No, that's possible. Yeah. Steak dinner.
Or killed somebody.
Or steak dinner, yeah. Or both.
Or both.
Yeah.
Right, with left and the right.
Yeah.
Right? He's ambidextrous. Hey!
I think it's everything, but he had Mexican, and he's trying to find the nearest bathroom, and he's not going to let anyone get in the way.
Oh, that's very possible, yeah. Yes. Very nice. That's very possible. Nice.
Listen, this is news. This is what I'm asking you. Chris, this is news?
This is news?
This is news?
Well, it is, really, because why are those claws bloodied?
Yeah.
Why is he looking so determinated?
Why is he looking so determined? terminated. Why does he look so terminated?
See, and you guys hassle me with the bringing you and the everything.
I said that on purpose.
Right. Chris, you know what? What's exciting is that we can take a picture.
A picture.
Put it on the internet.
Yes.
And then talk about it.
Yeah,
it's really a novel idea.
Yeah, it really is.
And I guess the crux of it is it's something new about Wolverine,
yes.
About the movie, because people are looking for something new.
Absolutely.
About the July 29th release of Wolverine.
And the first trailer is due at the end of March, so it's on the heels of this new trailer coming out.
Yeah.
Don't you think that the picture of Hugh Jackman kind of looks like Gary Sinise from Forrest Gump?
I never saw that movie.
Oh.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Does that imply he's aging and becoming more weathered?
It does, don't you think?
Yeah, okay. Well, that's where my mind was headed when I saw
he's looking a little older than the old early X-Men days.
The old, not old Wolverine?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Anyways, listen.
Very exciting, anyway, for Wolverine fans to see bloodied claws.
Bloodied claws.
Yes.
But yeah, that's because he's the best at what he does. But what he does isn't very pretty.
Isn't very nice, indeed. Yeah. More trailer trash, Chris?
Sure, why not? Let's go with new footage for Iron Man 3. New footage for Iron Man 3 is coming out. Now, Shane Black is the director of Iron Man 3, which comes out May the 4th. May the 4th be with you, by the way. Little plug there.
Ayo.
Anyways, of course, it stars the
May 3rd, by the way.
Oh, sorry. May 3rd? Is it May 3rd?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
May 4th, of course. Let me interject. Let me help you.
Yes.
Let me help you.
Oh, boy.
May 4th is Free Comics Book Day.
Comics book? Yeah.
And May 3rd is the Friday.
Right.
It's the launch of the Wolverine
movie.
Sure.
Wolverine.
What did I say? The Iron Man. Sorry. And am I helping you?
Not at all.
Do you want more help?
Yeah, please continue that. Right. This is hilarious.
I swear to the fans, there are scripts. There are things, there are facts on paper.
So I screwed up the date. It's May 3rd. Iron Man 3, which stars Robert Downey Jr., Gwyneth Paltrow, Don Cheadle. Now, Ben Kingsley. He's going to be the Mandarin. At least we're assuming he's going to be
the Mandarin.
Yes. And, of course, there's Guy Pearce and a bunch of other characters. I can't wait for this movie.
Ooh, Guy Pearce. You know he did Memento, right?
Yeah, Memento. He's done a lot.
Maybe this movie will be in, reverse. They'll do
that'd be cool.
You know?
That would be very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was also in Ravenous, where he ate other people. He was, a cannibal. So does that mean he's going to eat other Iron Men?
He's also in a bad Time Machine.
He'll get his iron that way.
Oh, yeah, he was in Time Machine, too.
He's all about time and distortion. I'm excited now.
Anyways, by the way, did you know that May the 4th is also the unofficial Star Wars Day?
What does that mean?
May the 4th be with you.
Oh, May the 4th be with you.
Right?
Right, so. Yeah. Wow.
All right. Anyways, G.I. Joe Retaliation. That's the now. This is the new
Marty. Make me some more salad over there, please. After that last joke.
Now, G.I. Joe Retaliation is the new G.I. Joe movie coming out. Now, of course, we had the old G.I. Joe movie with Cobra Rising. I think it was called something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't do
Cobra Rising.
It didn't do poorly, but it didn't. It wasn't a blockbuster.
Yeah, they need Arnold to be a blockbuster. Arnold in G.I. Joe. For it to be a blockbuster.
He needs to be gung-ho or something like that.
He has to be Cobra Commander.
Oh, boy. That would be terrible. Listen.
Cobra Commando.
G.I. Joe Retaliation is set to open up on March 28th. And this is going to be the G.I. Joe movie, because it's going to have Bruce Willis, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Ray Park, and of course Channing Tatum as well. So yeah. This is going to be a great, great movie.
Right, and Ray Park was from The Phantom Menace, right?
He was
the ninja acrobatic Darth Maul.
Yeah. But he was also the Toad in X-Men,
right.
And he was also the Headless Horseman in Sleepy Hollow.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, see, you know what? I'm here to help.
He didn't have a head, though, so it's tough to tell.
Well, that is true. Yeah. I'm here to help you. You help me, and I help you.
Help me help you.
That's right.
Scratch my back. Listen, no Arnold, so I don't know. I'm worried about the chances of the film.
Walt's
but,
not going to go see it, in other words. No Arnold, no Walt.
Conan does not star in this movie.
All right. All right, Chris, let's keep this thing moving. Let's go right into, what do we do? What's it called, the big thing we do?
Industry news.
Industry news, yeah. Industry news.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Wonder Woman and all Wonder Woman
right.
will be honored in a PBS documentary on April 15th. PBS, of course, is the very kind of...
Public Broadcast Service.
The public broadcasting service in the U.S. You kind of almost have to be smart to watch that show.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I don't see it very much.
Yeah, and neither do I. My wife tells me all about it, though. She says it's very good. Stuff like, news and
well, usually they have, like, opera on it.
Opera. And... But you know what? They'll have great American can of stuff on PBS,
right.
Like Charles Burns Baseball and stuff
right.
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they're doing a great feature on the American heroines.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Heroines?
Heroines. Yeah, I don't know.
Female heroes. Yeah. And the focus being Wonder Woman, but not limited to Wonder Woman.
Well, yeah, it's the untold story of American superheroines.
Yes.
Right?
And what I love about this, of course, is... how could I say this, Chris? I mean, you and I championed the local comic book shop for the last 17 years, I think, the
yep.
show's been on.
Yeah.
Right? It's almost like our hard work is finally paying off. It's, you know, it's like, like Elton John when he got knighted.
Right.
It's like, I don't know, some rapper that finally did Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, Jeff Beck, you know, spaced out drug addict playing for Obama's
inauguration. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like comics now are on PBS.
Yeah.
You know?
I love it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's not some underground, creepy, weird thing. It's
superheroes, yeah.
Right?
It's superheroes. It's, yeah, it's a schlocky superhero-y as you can get.
It's not some artsy-fartsy thing where it's like, oh, yeah, I spent 4 years in Tibet, and now here's my comic. Here's my graphic novel that took me 8 years to draw.
I cut myself till I almost bled to death, and then I wrote a comic about it.
With
and
the
then,
blood.
You know, it's not that, right?
No,
it's not
no,
that.
That's
it's,
right.
it's superheroes. And it's beautiful, and I love it. Now, what people should know listening to the radio show
yes.
is that for DC anyway, Wonder Woman wasn't the first superheroine.
No.
It was actually DC had Hawk Girl. Now, Wonder Woman, I'm going to pull a geek alert here. Wonder Woman first appeared in All-Star Comics number 8 back in December of 41.
And a lot of people think that she first appeared in Sensation Comics number 1.
No.
But they'd be wrong.
All-Star Comics number 8, December 41. But back in, I believe, June 41, All-Star number 5 had the first Hawk Girl.
Oh, interesting.
Which was kind of Hawkman's, main...
Counterpart.
Main wing.
Swing.
Squeeze. Swing! But also... for Canadian listeners, our superheroine,
Nelvana
of the Northern Lights, she predates Wonder Woman as well.
Ooh.
She was August 1941.
Oh, interesting.
So Wonder Woman may be the most popular
yes.
of all the superheroines, but she definitely was not the first.
Because she had a magic lasso in which to tie people up.
Yes. Tell me the truth.
Now, which, by the way, I've always found very interesting. The creator of Wonder Woman was William Moulton Marston,
mm-hmm.
Who was also the inventor of the lie detector.
Mm.
Right? So it's interesting that Wonder Woman would have the magic lasso, which forced people to tell the truth, and William Moulton Marston also invented the lie detector.
Well, that is, I never put those two together.
Yeah. I always thought that was interesting, right?
Yeah.
So look at that. You know what? You listen to comic culture, you learn a little bit more
about it. You earn and you learn.
Yeah, you know what? He probably got grilled by his wife so much where he's going out late at night. So then he tried to turn it around. He tried to turn it around and say, "Well, what are you doing while I'm gone? Exactly. You know, let's do this.
Honey, tie me up in this rope and ask me questions."
It'll be interesting to see what they talk about in this documentary here, because you know, with Linda Carter. So Linda Carter was the star of Wonder Woman in the 1970s. Yeah. But you know what? Any kind of subsequent attempt to recreate the Wonder Woman phenomenon. on TV was not really met all that well.
I hope that Linda Carter didn't spell the doom of Wonder Woman.
I don't think so. I think it's more a case of nobody else can live up to Linda Carter. Right, it's kind of like Christopher Reeve. You know, the last guy that played Superman wasn't all that good.
Yeah,
because everybody's thinking about Christopher Reeve.
Yeah,
right. And when Hugh Jackman decides that he no longer wants to be Wolverine,
yeah. that poor schmuck that played Conan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
How do you follow Arnold?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. That's right. So, anyways, listen. Let's have a quick
in an SUV.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's much easier that way.
Mm-hmm. I think we have to do the Captain Canuck first, don't we?
We're doing quick musical interlude.
Oh,
here.
Right. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
You teased him. See that? That's a teaser.
I know. Let's have a quick musical interlude here, and then we'll come back to Captain Canuck. Oh, hold on. Wait for it.
Ayo.
Wait, hold on.
Ayo.
Hold on a second here. Let me just try that again.
Am I going to get blamed for this?
Probably. Way to go, producer. Here we go.
Banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time. The Legion of Doom. Dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat. The Super Friends. Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is the Challenge of the Super Friends.
And we're back.
Okay. Marty, you have a sponsor for us.
Yeah, what are we moving into first, Chris, so I don't ruin this twice?
Moving into industry news.
Captain Canuck.
So industry news and Captain Canuck will be brought to you by Lady Speed Stick, strong enough for a man but made for a Wonder Woman, because the last thing they want is for their odor to be their greatest strength.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Did you just make that up?
No, that's a sponsor.
Did you just get that sponsor?
Yeah, it just came in over the emails.
Is getting some good new sponsorship. I like
Speed
that.
Stick. Wait, we've never had a national sponsor like that before.
Wow,
that's pretty.
Don't worry, they're getting paid, or they're paying us the same that you're paying me. So.
Oh well, okay, that's good.
Chris, let's talk about our favorite.
Let's talk about comics, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
Hey,
let's talk about.
Stop.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Captain Canuck, my favorite and yours. So there's a big thing going on with the Captain Canuck franchise, and that is Indiegogo or Indiegogo?
I think it's Indiegogo. Now, hold
Indiegogo.
On. I think we need to
Indiegogo.
Beep. Back it up a minute here.
All right, back it up.
I think you need to tell the audience that there's lots of stuff happening with Captain Canuck, and explain everything that's going on in the Captain Canuck world.
I will.
And also explain who Captain Canuck is, because maybe some people don't know.
Yeah. Captain Canuck is a Canadian superhero created by Richard Cumley. First comic book for Captain Canuck came back in 1975. Massive success at the beginning. And you know what? Unrightfully so. It languished for a while.
Yeah.
But now there seems to be a resurgence in interest in Captain Canuck. And obviously superheroes are popular everywhere. And I think us as Canadians, we want our own superhero. Yeah, Wolverine, Vindicator. These guys are all Canadians, but they're all like they're American. Americans own them, to speak.
Yeah.
You know, sellouts. Anyway, Captain Canuck is our own homegrown property, and
it was a Canadian hero created by a Canadian,
right? And the people over at Captain Canuck Inc., a newly formed company, is trying to get a web. What are they called? Webisodes?
Yeah, yeah, webisodes. Yeah,
they're trying
to
get 5 webisodes produced. Yeah. And they got voice actors lined up. Chris Holden Reed and Paul Amos. Both of those guys are doing wonders at, what's that thing called?
Lost Girl?
Lost Girl, yeah.
Are they both on Lost Girl?
Yeah, they're both on Lost Girl.
Where's
and,
it filmed, Walt?
Pardon?
Where's that show filmed?
I think it's in Hamilton, Ontario.
I'm trying to give us some street cred.
Right, Hamilton, Ontario, nice. Lost Girl, yo. Right?
Nice.
And so a lot of good things are happening there. They've signed those guys up. Of course, we always get his name, Kalman Andrasovsky.
Yep.
Kalman Andrasovsky, he's doing the art. He's reimaging Captain Canuck.
Yep.
And so they're going forward with these webisodes. They're trying to get these 5 webisodes produced.
Right.
And they're doing an Indiegogo or Indiegogo launch next Thursday. That's Thursday, March 28th at the Great Hall in Toronto, which I think is 1087 Queen Street West.
Right.
And they're basically trying to get some funding to get these guys, you know, to get the professionals paid.
Yep.
To get these webisodes up so people will take notice and maybe a place like Cartoon Network or something will pick up the property.
I think the idea is that, you know, if you get a few webisodes going, show that you have a quality product, and then maybe it might get picked up as an actual real live cartoon for Captain Canuck,
right? Well, I think there's massive pent-up demand for this, Chris.
You know
what's that one? There was a TV series that was canceled a few years ago, and they just did an Indiegogo, and they made $17 trillion or something like that.
Oh, Veronica Mars.
Veronica Mars,
right.
I mean, obviously that's, you know, the high-end success rate. But, you know, I mean, I've seen at conventions people coming up to the booth excited about Captain Canuck.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Okay, I know we talked about this last show, but, you know, we were at the booth. I was Richard Comley's handler at the Bigby booth. And it amazed me, like, I'm a jaded old-time comic book guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up reading comics in the 80s, and unfortunately, Captain Canuck at that time, I don't want to say it wasn't popular, but really wasn't all that popular, right?
Right.
Really, so, you know, it was sort of like, oh, Captain Canuck, I remember that from years ago kind of thing. And so unfortunately, I still have a little bit of that sort of jadedness to myself. But you know what – and I shouldn't, because – watching people come up to Richard Comley at the show, they were in awe of this legendary comic book artist drawing Captain Canuck. He was doing signatures, he was giving away art, he was amazing. All these people who are sort of in their teens, people who are either in their teens or in their 40s, and they all loved Captain Canuck. It seemed like there was a sort of a bandwidth of that of time of people who are that age.
You know what? I caught that too, and I think we alluded to this before too. There was those guys in their 40s, 50s that had a personal connection with Richard.
Yeah.
Say, hey, Richard, I remember going to Aurelia or Gravenhurst, and I took a whole trunk of your books, and I was, you know, the summer of 78, and I had a great time, and Captain Canuck was a big part of my summer, and Richard was just like totally in with them.
It was awesome.
And then there was the reverence of those 19, 20, 21 year olds. Oh my God,
that's
Richard Comley. Oh my God.
And
right?
it was like the children of those people who,
exactly,
right. But then you get guys who are sort of in between, like me, who it's like, oh, I didn't have that growing up. I didn't really, we saw the Captain Canuck comics, but I was more interested in Wolverine, right?
You're a mainstream boy.
Stan Lee
was your idol.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know,
Stan Lee's a good idol, though, Marty.
Yeah, he really is.
Well, absolutely.
You're gonna have an idol. Stan Lee's one of the good ones.
He's stood the test of time. What is it? 40 years? He's, you know, still the king of comics.
40.
Right? How about 1940?
How about 70 years?
Yeah, 70.
No, I'm talking, you know, Spider-Man, early 60s, right?
That's
50 years.
Yeah. We'll get him a calculator.
I didn't get hired for math.
Next show, we'll get him a calculator.
What is this?
Anyways, my point is,
I
love the fact that Richard has a great following, and Captain Canuck is now becoming a thing. I don't even know how. It's becoming an important part of Canadian.
Yeah, there's a Canadian resurgence.
Yeah.
Of comic books. So there's a possession we want to have. We want to have our own. And sorry,
just
and you know what? Like the team, like the whole the new. But even more to that than Chris, as much as Richard is wooing the hearts, the new team, the Captain Canuck Inc. team, the Fatty team, the Fatty who heads the Captain Canuck Inc. He's doing great things on trying to push the envelope and reimagine Captain Canuck.
Yeah.
And he's getting talented people.
Look at Kalman Andrzejewski.
Yeah, like Kalman. Right.
Here's a guy that's worked for Marvel. He's done NYX. He's done X-Men Extreme. He's done X-23. He's done all kinds of great comics. And here he is going back to Canadian roots and publishing and redesigning Captain Canuck.
Well, that's the thing. And that's how I'm sure they got guys like Chris Holden Reed and Paul Amos. These are red-blooded Canadian boys.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, the people at Captain Canuck Inc. said, "Hey, guys, are you interested in doing a Canadian superhero thing called Captain Canuck?" I am in.
Absolutely.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm doing it for – okay, I won't say what they're doing it for, but it's a great project. So hopefully if people I don't know where they can go. They obviously CaptainCanuck.com.
Well, you know what? Why not?
The place,
they can go to
right?
CaptainCanuck.com or they can go to Indiegogo on next Thursday, March 28th.
Sure.
In Toronto.
Come to the event.
Go to the Great Hall event and, help them out because, this is I can't stress this enough. I think that this is a great part of Canadiana to get involved in. And to be able to support a Canadian icon like Captain Canuck is awesome. I mean, to be able to go there, go to the event, buy a mug. It might cost you $15 or $10 or whatever it is.
T-shirt.
But that is going to the profits from that is going to support a webisode.
Yeah.
The webisode might turn out to be really great.
Yeah.
And which will then turn
I'm
into
I'm sure a, it will turn out
well,
to be
well,
really
and
great.
Then it'll turn out to be like a Cartoon Network cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden now you're going to be a part of something much larger than your $10.
That's absolutely
right. And I mean, if I can just elaborate just for 15 seconds, the whole Indiegogo thing, just because I have experience with it, I've put a project up on there. It really is bigger than itself. Like the Veronica Mars thing that you're talking about, I know that you didn't talk numbers exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was one day or one weekend or less than a week of some kind. It made $2.5 million.
Yeah.
The amount of money that came in was astounding. And you know what? That only motivates people who are running the project to say, you know what? I will risk and go all out and make this come to light because I know that the fans are supporting it.
Right.
So even... Like you guys were saying, show that little bit of financial appreciation and the project will definitely come to fruition. It'll definitely get published.
Wow. You're right, Marty. I mean, and listen, Chris, I think that perhaps Comic Culture should do an Indiegogo.
Absolutely.
If we got some more money, we might be able to put together a better show.
Maybe able to hire a producer.
Yeah.
Does that mean I get paid? You're finding a paid producer.
We'll get a really good one like yourself.
So Comic Culture, the Indiegogo coming soon.
Yeah, right.
Is that something else? Is that another project for me to work on for free?
That'll keep us in Lemonade anyway.
Marty, can you please get an Indiegogo?
Gogio.
Anyways, are we gonna have a musical interlude now? Or
a musical interlude.
Okay, let's.
Something.
I'm going back to the well. I'm going back to a little bit of the old Krantz.
Back.
That was Marty's cue, but
totally
whatever. It's all good. Marty, go ahead.
Indiegogo.
All right, this next bit brought to you by the Digital Comic Book Pirates. What other kind of pirate can steal so many comics in the comfort of their own mother's basements wearing only undies and mustard stains?
Oh, well, there is a lot of that going on right now.
Mustard stains or undies?
You know what? Both.
Maybe a little bit.
I'm
going to
go with both. Yeah. My answer is both, Alex.
I'll take a vowel. No, I'd like to buy a vowel. How does that work?
That's a completely different game. They're right, talking, yeah, about, talking right, about.
I
you
am
know,
in tune.
You're talking about dial for dollars or whatever it's called.
Chris, let's talk about something very important, because you and I, this show, by the way, which is broadcast on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio.
Yes.
Every week. What time?
Noon.
Noon, right. Noon.
Wednesday.
Noon.
Every Wednesday
noon.
Noon.
Is it noon already?
I know. Can you believe? Wow. Well, it's not noon now. It's past noon.
Okay.
We've been doing the show for about a half an hour or
right.
so. Maybe 40 minutes.
So 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. Great station. Obviously, the station of the year in Hamilton, Ontario for the last, I think, 17 years running.
At least.
Because of our show.
Well, yeah. We've been doing the show for about 17 years
right.
as well. So.
And let's talk about something very important, because we are here to support the local comic book shop.
What would you like to talk about, Walt?
And the most important day of the year for the local comic book
yes.
shop is what?
Free Comic Book Day.
Absolutely.
So Free Comic Book Day is happening this May the 4th on
Saturday, May
Saturday.
The 4th. The day after the
Iron Man 3 yeah. Opening. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Now, here's the thing.
I gotta
tell you, Walt.
Tell
people have been asking me, why is Free Comic Book Day good? You know, I had a conversation with a very good
conversation.
Friend. I said conversation. I had
right.
a conversation.
We had a conversation.
Oh.
St. Paddy's Day was last McGonagall. Weekend, Chris.
No, I had a conversation with a very good friend of mine, Mr. Jerry Bertolo. We talked last week about Free Comic Book Day, and he said, does Free Comic Book Day work? Because from what he's heard, only people, how do I word this without offending anybody?
Tell like it is, Chris. Tell like it is.
Be careful, Chris. I don't want any flack because of you saying something.
He has heard that only a few select people come to Free Comic Book Day, and they only come once a year on Free Comic Book Day to get free comics, and those are the only new people that come into the store. So is it actually doing anything for the industry besides bringing people in to quote unquote deadbeat around and
sounds
get free
like
comics?
Me. Sounds like me.
Right.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'd like to answer you and Mr. Bertolo.
Yes.
As a comic book retailer, our free comic book days have grown double digits for the last at least 5 years.
Okay.
Our year over year business has grown. So what I'm going to, my answer is this: Free Comic Book Day
yeah.
is what the local comic book shop makes it. So if you do get new people into your shop on Free Comic Book Day,
okay.
and they are newbies that are just looking for the freebies,
right.
Guess what? If you make a good presentation, if you put out a good spread,
yes.
if you get some hot dogs out there with
nice.
A little bit of mustard and
yeah,
a little bit of ketchup
yeah, 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 yeah.
and stuff, and you sucker them into eating that stuff, and you say, hey, you know, look at my shop. It's a great shop.
Will they come back?
You engage, you know what? You don't have to have 100% retention. You don't have to have 50% retention. You just have to have a certain number of them come back.
Okay, so what is the percentage of retention?
49.
20%?
You know what? It could be. It could be. But you know what? Retention, you have to define retention. Is it weekly retention? Is
okay.
it? Is it, you know what? Free Comic Book Day, May 4th, nephew's birthday,
right.
September 37th. Is that a date?
37. September 37th.
We'll make it a date, Walt.
We'll yeah. make it a date.
Yeah, that's my birthday. From now on, all of you out there want to know when my birthday is, it's September 37th.
Well, that's good. I'll never have to buy you a gift.
They may be back then, and they didn't even know why they're back.
Because it's September 37th.
They didn't even know why they came back.
Oh,
I said
boy.
That totally wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Yes.
You have to do it. I'm saying to Jerry and to you have to do it. Free Comic Book Day is a huge day. It's the day to showcase
okay,
your store.
So now I know. Your store here in Hamilton, Bigby mm-hmm. Comics, they like to. You guys like to have a guest artist in.
Sure
and
do.
You give out free comics.
We
and
do. That's why it's called Free Comic.
And you
day.
Give out free food.
We do.
Now, what percentage? And I'm
of food.
No. Hold on. Now I'm being serious here. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. But what percentage of people of patrons come back after Free Comic Book Day to buy other stuff, do you think?
We don't track that.
Okay, you must
I'm going to say, of new people.
Brand new people.
I'm going to say one in five, one
okay,
in six.
Okay, so 20%?
15?
18%?
Yeah, 15 maybe.
15%?
But the point is, too, you can't remember this either.
I'll try not to remember it.
Can't forget this either. Yeah. Existing customers, you reinforce how great you are in your community as a local comic book shop with your existing customers as well.
Okay.
So it's not just about getting in new people. It's about that unspoken intangible of retaining the existing customers that you have.
But
so Free Comic Book Day is just one of those events that you have during the year that that reinforces to the existing customer, hey, this is a great hobby. This is a great endeavor.
Right.
This is a great local comic book shop.
Okay, right.
You know, that puts on a great spread, has free hot dogs. My kid threw up when he got home. I don't care, man. I didn't have to pay for his lunch. You know what I'm saying?
You have to pay for the carpet cleaning, though, don't you?
Yeah, well, we're not covering that.
That 59-cent hot dog doesn't look so great when it's a $200 cleaning bill,
hey,
huh?
But we're not paying for it.
Yeah. No.
So, no. Free Comic Book Day is a must.
Okay. Continue with that last half line that you have
there. Yeah, Free Comic Book Day is a must. Free Comic Book Day is an event that will grow every year. Free Comic Book Day is the call to action to all local comic book shops to do something special, to do something that differentiates you from your box stores in your area.
Okay, so I'm gonna be mean here for a second.
Yeah,
have you done anything different in Free Comic Book Day from year to year other than get a guest artist in and provide free food?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
What have you done?
Yes. Well, I don't want to tell you. Recently, we added the local library, the Hamilton Public Library.
Oh, right. Okay.
We invited them to come to the booth. We invited them, and we actually give out more free comics if kids bring their library cards.
Okay, good.
Right. We're looking this year to bring even more. We're actually looking at a tent. We're actually looking at a live band.
Ooh.
So what happens though, Chris, is what you got to remember and you can't forget. Which means the same thing, really.
You got to remember and you can't forget.
Is that there has to be a certain critical mass for Free Comic Book Day before the local comic book shop, which is a small proprietor shop,
absolutely,
can take liberties with their budgets and expand.
It takes two, three.
You can't all of a sudden have like a flipping, Linda Carter at your shop that year. Or
why not?
Or fly in the president.
I don't know. I think you should look into that.
She's so fine, though, Chris. There ain't no telling where the money went. I don't know where I got that from. Hey, listen.
Marty had something.
I have the golden asterisks here.
I'm sorry. Asterisks and obliques over here.
You're talking about rainbows and lollipops over here, Walt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say, you know what? That's because you put in the creativity. You put in the effort. You've got free food. How many other comic stores have free food offered? You've got a very nice, clean, respectable business as a storefront to present these free books in. How many other comic book stores can say that their place is incredibly presentable and they actually swept the floors that morning? All I'm saying is the shops that are successful, I see Jerry's point in saying that, you know what, if comic shops just get a whole, they pay their whatever their pittance is for these free books, they give out 500 free books and then they're out when they're out, right?
Right.
If they don't actually put any extended effort in to making their place look any better than it does any day of the year, like you do, because I know I've been in your shop. I am in every year shop. Yep. You go above and beyond.
Okay,
that will attribute to growth in sales.
Let me tell you something, Marty, and you're right. But it's a gradual process because small proprietors, it takes a successful free comic book day at a maybe old-fashioned store to wake the old-fashioned local comic book store up to the possibilities of becoming a modern comic book store. And that's what Chris and I champion here on the show, is for people to go onwards and upwards with their local comic book shops and Free Comic Book Day is free advertising for the shops that maybe aren't hustling And hopefully they see, hey, look at all these customers coming in because of residual advertising. They're coming in. They're interested in this stuff. Hey, maybe I should get off my duff and do something. Right. It's a call to action. Free Comic Book Day is a call to action to all local comic book shops
to
do a good job.
But I'm just saying maybe he feels, you know, Cullen's Corner Comics doesn't do anything above and beyond. And so they only get those deadbeats who just come in for their free books. They drag their feet and then they leave.
Yeah.
Because they're not doing that extra
job.
They should, though. You're right.
I recommend to local comic shops to not bean count. To not count, oh, that guy, oh, that guy, oh, that guy. Hey, listen. Speaking of that, though, Chris, I did a little research on the internet. Did you know, I looked up, you know, for our Free Comic Book Day discussion, Free Comic Book Day was not the first name, tabled.
Really?
Yeah.
From Diamond? Yeah.
The Free Comic Book Day, there was a bunch of names tabled and a bunch were rejected.
What's wrong with Free Comic Book Day?
No. Free Comic Book Day was the one that was eventually picked.
Oh, that was a good one. Okay.
But I have the minutes to the Free Comic Book Day meeting.
What do they got?
I scooped the minutes. This is a comic culture scoop.
Am I liable here for...
No, no, you're not.
Okay,
no,
good.
This is really a coup for the show. One was called... The first name for it was 10 Free Comics for $100 Day.
Like
a $100 donation?
The higher-ups, they figured that wouldn't work.
No, not really.
Then another guy came up with... Now you don't have to steal them day.
No, that's good. I like that one. That's a good one.
Yeah. Now you don't have to steal them day, but they figure that might be too offensive.
So people stop wearing trench coats in July.
Exactly. Yeah. And the same guy, I think, probably came up with stuff your pants with comics day.
Oh, well, that's... I don't, that's a little odd.
Yeah.
Looking, yeah.
And didn't you used to do that before you went on dates?
Especially with Spider-Man ones.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway,
to make a much more defined buttocks.
And then there was another one, a table called Only These Comics Are Free Day.
Oh, well, that's a good one.
Because
yeah.
what happens is people come in and they think the whole store is for free.
They think, you know, the first appearance of Spider-Man is
exactly.
free.
Exactly. And another guy tabled, check this one out. This is one of my favorites. Vini Vidi Mucci Day.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, because it's the Latin Vini Vidi Vici.
Isn't that mean?
I came, I saw, I conquered.
Right.
I came, I saw, I mooched.
Right, I like that.
So
yeah, that's good.
Vini Vidi Mucci, but they figured that might be offensive.
Right.
Then there was another one. I spent $1,000 to get your sorry ass into my store today, Day.
And I like that one. That's good.
They should turn that into a bumper sticker.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, for the comic guys. What else was there? There was Thanks for Nothing Day.
Oh, I like that one too.
See,
that was good.
Those are bitter comic shop guys, though.
But aren't most comic book shop guys bitter?
Well, yeah. And these are the guys, obviously, that came, up with these slogans.
Wasn't that last one you, though?
Yeah, it was me. Now, the thing is obviously in jest, comic shop guys at the beginning, I think like what Marty alluded to earlier is, I spent $1,000 or whatever to get your butt in here and Mucci Day or whatever like that. You cannot think about Free Comic Book Day like this. You cannot think about Free Comic Book Day. Jerry, your friend Jerry, or my friend Jerry as well.
Yep.
We can't think about the guys that just come in and exploit that day.
No, you can't.
You can't.
No.
Right? You can't. Because you have to think about, there are going to be, what do you call that? Collateral damage? Is that what it is?
Sure.
Yeah.
Collateral damage. Not even that. You know what? Don't even think about any negative at all. Because there's no negative. Think about smiles and kids enjoying a book.
Smiles and kids enjoying
there you
a book.
Go. That's what you need.
And getting sick on hot dogs.
Because that can only come back as a positive except for the hot dog sickness.
Marty,
thing.
Are you going to appear as Superman this year?
I don't know what you're talking about, Chris.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Anyways, you know what? That is all the time we have for today. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. And, you know, where does the hour go?
Chris, it goes. You know what?
It goes.
Especially with springtime.
I know.
It goes even quicker.
I know. That's true.
Hey, listen. Comic Culture is produced by our...
new young gun.
Producer.
producer.
Marty Berthelmer.
Marty Berthelmer.
And is engineered by our stalwart.
Young Buck.
Young Buck, Andrew Roebuck.
Yes.
Sitting over to my left.
Yes.
And you're right.
And I'm right.
And for comments and suggestions, visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Podcast link. Scroll, Chris, down to the comments field. And please add a comment.
And you know what? Make sure to continually tune in to CFMU 93.3 McMaster Radio. They are an amazing radio station to work for and work with. They're wonderful people. And please, have yourself a great day.
Yeah, 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. And we're also podcasting.
Didn't I just say that?
We're also podcasting at GetThePointRadio.com, and we have to give them a plug. Remember,
have yourself a great day.